everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 19th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and slightly inebriated Melissa Hansen.
Just a little bit, but you don't need to tell everyone that.
Welcome to Margaritaville.
Maybe it's good, so I don't think I'm just weird. I have had a few margaritas with my friend Mike. Not you, Mike. Another friend, Mike.
Yes.
Tonight, so this could be a very interesting podcast, or it could be complete and total shit.
All right, so I will hold the reins tightly. How has your week been entertainment-wise?
Entertainment-wise, I finally got to see, and I know you've seen it too, Carnage.
Roman Polanski's Carnage.
Roman Polanski. Carnage. So should we begin or end talking about Roman?
You can start by talking about Roman.
I am personally very torn on watching Roman Polanski stuff. Because of his, shall we say, legal issues?
Long-standing legal issues. Dating back to the 60s.
But not just because of his legal issues, but you know what that stems from. I'm very torn. I thoroughly enjoy his work.
But we saw Ghost Rider.
We did, which again I saw in a screening. I love his work. I think he's one of the best directors. You know, everything I've seen of him, I adore.
You just won't pay for it.
I have a huge problem giving him my money.
Okay.
Now, the whole legal issue thing, my personal thing is he should have gone to jail for a decent amount of time. But I think the legal system screwed him over and screwed his victim over, so to speak. But I think at this point, it just needs to be let go.
Because he's still a very viable commodity when it comes to directing stories.
He is, because he's an amazing director.
Now, this particular film was based on a stage play.
A stage play by Yasmina Reza, who is a French female writer.
Yes.
Who wrote the play Art.
Yes.
Which I have seen a couple versions of, mm-hmm. which is all male characters.
Right.
Which is very, she writes amazing male characters. It's very cool. But she wrote this.
And Carnage is staged as a stage play, almost.
Yeah, it almost is. Yeah, so it was originally a play made into a movie with Jodie Foster, John C. Reilly, Kate Winslet, and Christoph Waltz.
Right.
And they are amazing. And it's pretty much the four characters in one room.
In a New York apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And in the hallway outside that apartment.
Yeah.
But the tension, I didn't know what to expect. I had not seen the play. I had gone into this knowing very little aside from the fact that it was a Polanski film.
Yeah.
And was incredibly surprised by the balance between humor and really intense drama and just some bizarre off-the-wall moments.
Yeah. Well, you think, again, you have like a Tony Award winner writer.
Yeah.
You have, you know, award-winning director,
mm-hmm.
award-winning actors who are four of the best working today.
Yeah.
And you put all that together and you're either going to, like, it's going to blow up in your face or it's going to be brilliant. And I think it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and we don't want to spoil anything for people who want to see this because it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Just in general, it's two couples. Their sons get into a fight. Their grade school,
preteen sons, right?
Junior high age sons get into a fight. And the four of them come together to kind of figure out what they're going to do. And it starts out very cordial.
Amicable. Yeah,
very amicable and this kind of thing. And then it ends up just alliances change back and forth. And
it's a strange journey of emotions and intellect. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much about these people in a very short amount of time. It's only an 80-minute film.
Right.
But the tension you can create and the claustrophobia and the narrative changes. It's a roller coaster ride that it's fascinating to watch.
If you need like a lot of action or sex or violence in your films, this is not for you.
No.
But if you don't, I highly recommend it, you know, for the actors. And his direction is amazing.
Yeah.
It's from beautiful, brilliant
shots. It's subtle. Very, very subtle. But the changes, when you think about it, when it's over, or if you can even pick up on them while they're happening, can be so profound that you don't even realize it.
Yeah, it's a brilliantly done film.
Yeah, so don't hesitate to check it out now.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we also saw Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Right.
Which I'm still kind of on the fence about.
I think, so I've just seen it once. I just recently saw it.
Yeah.
The first part of the movie, I appreciated it for what it was, but I didn't enjoy it. The second part of the movie, I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
I think knowing what it is and how it progresses, if I watched it a second time, I would enjoy the whole thing. And not enjoy, like, laugh my ass off.
No.
But appreciate watching it, not just appreciate what went into making it.
Yeah. Now, see, on the other hand, with me, I went into this, unlike Carnage, knowing nothing, I went into this mm-hmm. with my guard up because I'm so against the emotional manipulation of 9/11.
Absolutely. And I think this didn't do that at all.
No, it didn't.
Quick plot rundown. Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock play a married couple with a young child who's an interesting
borderline autistic
child. Yeah, he's a very interesting, quirky, weird child.
Somewhere on that autistic spectrum.
Yeah, but a highly functioning
kid. Yeah.
But anyhow, and this is not giving away plot points.
No.
Tom Hanks' character's dies in the towers on 9/11.
Yeah, you see that in the trailer. I mean, they set that up.
Right. And it's his wife and his child dealing with this, especially his child.
Yeah.
That's the lead character, and that's what it's about. Thomas Horn, who has not done much, plays his son.
Unbelievably carries this movie.
He really does.
Holy
cow. He's in it 99% of the time. I mean, he carries it, and he does a fairly good job. I would not say an excellent job.
There are moments, and a monologue I can think of in particular where he's speaking to Max von Sydow.
There are moments where he's phenomenal. There's moments where he's good.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly plain-looking Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
And Tom Hanks playing kind of nice guy, but it's a little different turn, and it is a smaller role.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kudos for him for taking it. But yes, Max von Sydow's in it. And that's the parts I love.
Viola Davis, Jeffrey Wright,
John Goodman
plays the doorman.
It's really, really a great cast. Most of them have smaller roles. But yeah, exactly. It's kind of 9/11 and the after effects, and it's family issues, and it's, you know, a child with special needs and blah, blah, blah. And I really don't think they did the emotional manipulation in it.
No, but this is a movie that you have to commit to.
Yeah.
That it would be very easy to get frustrated and walk away from.
Please don't turn it off after 20 minutes or a half hour. Please, if you start it, stick with it to the end.
You have to.
It will. It becomes a different movie, and it really does pay off, and it really, it's killer at moments. Well, literally and figuratively. But if you choose to take this on, please stick with it.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching. There are going to be moments that are just going to turn your insides out emotionally, not viscerally. You know, it's not what you see, but it's what you feel and the emotion that is just pouring out of the screen and or pulling something out of you.
Right.
It grabs you.
It does.
And it doesn't let go.
It does. And again, I don't think it's manipulative with things.
No.
I think it's realistic with things. And it's, not a movie for everyone. And the director is Stephen Daltrey, who hasn't done tons of stuff, but he did Billy Elliot. He did The Hours. He did The Reader.
And again,
so
all
if that's
this.
Things you've enjoyed, I think you will enjoy this. If you've seen any of those or numerous ones of those and have not enjoyed that, then don't bother with
it. It is a uniquely British take on American society because it does have that kind of British film feel to it, despite the fact that it's all taking place in New York, in and around New York.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's the characters. I think it's the visuals. The pacing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's character studies. And it's a character study about a younger boy. So,
and for those of you who are wondering why Max von Sydow was up for an Academy Award opposite Christopher Plummer, you will quickly realize why. And I'm not going to say anything about it, but it's right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So two very interesting movies, off the beaten path films. Both of them are coming to DVD and Blu-ray and on demand, so you will have access to them.
Yes.
And I do highly recommend, and I think we both do, that these are worth experiencing.
Yeah, I would agree. It's I actually want, halfway through or so of Extremely Loud, I was like, I appreciate it. I'm never, ever going to see this again. When it ended, I'm like, I have to see this again because I will appreciate the beginning more knowing the ending.
Yeah. So,
but pretty much props to every single actor in both films.
Yeah, I agree.
And directors.
Yeah.
Without
absolutely.
A doubt. So you just kind of got to play it by ear whether or not this is your kind of thing.
Right. And know your audience. I mean, know the people that you're going to be watching the movie with.
Yeah.
You know, if your significant other or your family members who you would normally watch movies with would not appreciate this, then you're going to need to watch it on your own.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the box office this week because there was some interesting stuff going on that I didn't anticipate happening.
Yes. John Carter was supposed to be the big, right?
And
not so big.
It suffered more than a 50% drop off from last week, which is
it is
earth shattering to Disney. And they'll make it up on DVD and Blu-ray and on-demand. But
it's nowhere near theatrically right now.
No.
And you know what? It's gotten some good reviews. And people from Verdict who have seen it, there's been slightly mixed. But overall, people I very much respect have really liked it.
Right.
But yeah, it ended up coming in third with only $13.5 million, which is nothing really.
We are barely over the $50 million mark.
Exactly. And they pretty much haven't paid off the advertising on this.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
But number one... 21 Jump Street.
Which is sitting on Rotten Tomatoes at more than an 80% fresh rating.
Exactly. This is the thing. I thought it would do well, but I thought the reviews would be crappy.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's getting excellent reviews. Like Entertainment Weekly gave it an A-.
And they've already greenlit a sequel to it.
Yeah. And I actually want to see it. At the beginning when they announced it, I'm like, no freaking way.
Yeah.
But seeing it, and then I got to the point I wanted to see it just for the cameos.
Right.
Now I actually want to see it. It looks interesting. I think it's more than the sum of its parts, maybe?
Maybe, because everybody seems to be talking about Channing Tatum right now.
Yes, and that he's really, I mean, we all know Jonah Hill is freaking funny.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, depending on your sense of humor. But Channing Tatum, and I watched the SNL with Channing Tatum, and he did this Matthew McConaughey impersonation.
Yeah.
Which just was spot on and hysterical.
Huh.
And that made me like fan of him, just that like 5 minute whatever skit.
Yeah.
So 21 Jump Street, back to business here.
All right.
$35 million number one. The Lorax came in second with almost $23 million. John Carter, $13.5 million. Mm-hmm. And then we go from $13.5 million. Project X, $4 million.
See, there's the dividing line. Yeah.
There it is. And 1,000 Words, under $4 million.
Yeah.
Act of Valor is kind of hanging in there.
It is, surprisingly. And
just under $4 million, too.
And the other interesting thing is Journey 2, Mysterious Island.
Yeah, I think, again, it's, you know, we have a need for good kids movies, good family movies.
But it's close to $100 million. They've already greenlit a third one.
Oh, have they?
Dwayne Johnson is going to front. But it'll have to be based off an original script because they've used the two Jules Verne novels that they based the first two off of.
Right, yeah, we'll see.
Now, the other interesting thing this week was Casa de Mi Padre, which we talked about, the
Absolutely.
Will Ferrell thing. And it pulled in, what, $2 million?
Which I'm kind of like, wow, it made $2 million. And then I'm like, it only made $2 million for Will Ferrell. I think, obviously, it hasn't been advertised much and things like that.
This may be a discovery in home entertainment for a lot of people. Because let's face it, nobody wants to go out to the movies and pay $20 to see something all in Spanish that could be a complete bomb.
Exactly. Yeah.
Considering some of Will Ferrell's more recent movies have been absolutely terrible. Anyways, next week, let the madness begin, because Hunger Games opens, and no studio in their right mind wants to compete with it. There are only three other movies coming out. One is called Break, which is a Stephen Dorff crime drama about a kidnapped Secret Service agent.
Mm-hmm.
Another one's called Trouble with Bliss, which is a midlife crisis comedy about a guy who dates his high school friend's daughter.
Oh, that's appropriate.
Kind of creepy. It's Michael C. Hall, Peter Fonda, and Lucy Liu.
Well, that's an interesting cast.
It is. But the third one, I think, is more interesting. It's called Detachment. You know, it's already available on demand. It's getting a limited release.
Much more popular.
Right. Adrian Brody stars as a substitute teacher who kind of normally floats from job to job and doesn't make any connections, you know, collects his paycheck and moves on. But for whatever reason, this particular school that he's at for these couple or three weeks, there's three women who walk into his life, and it completely turns him inside out. One of them is Christina Hendricks. She plays a teacher.
Yes.
Another one is Sammy Gale, who's from Blue Blood, the Tom Selleck show. She plays the younger daughter, or the granddaughter. She plays a hooker in this.
Oh, excellent. She's very good in Blue Bloods.
Yeah. And then newcomer Betty Kay, who I believe is the daughter of director Tony Kay, a British director who gave us American History X with Edward Norton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
Yeah, but the rest of the cast in this, like, you know, can't beat with a stick kind of stuff.
Right.
Marcia Gay Harden, James Caan, Lucy Liu, Blythe Danner, Tim Blake Nelson.
Bill Peterson.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, it's like, crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy cast.
Crazy. So you can check that out now on your cable system for on demand.
Yeah.
Very cool. But yeah, Hunger Games is just going to blow the doors off
absolutely.
Of everything
like
this week.
There's no doubt on that one.
So John Carter doesn't have a chance of even coming in and cleaning up anything.
No. Not at all. Nothing else does, really.
So if you're not going to wait in line for the midnight showing of Hunger Games, let's look over and see what's coming to your DVD and Blu-ray slate this week.
I'm promising I'm not going to keep talking about it, like I said that weeks ago, so I'm going to let you mention it.
Oh, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, the Hollywood version.
I'm working on my review now, and the bonus materials on the Blu-ray are phenomenal and in-depth. Yeah. Oh,
really
my God.
Really informative kind of stuff. Makes me appreciate it 100 times more.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Talked about it. Carnage is coming out.
Yes.
You know, which obviously we just talked about.
Right.
There's Lucy Moves to NBC.
Oh, great.
I like some of the stuff they're coming out with, like Best of This, but it's Lucille Ball specials.
Yeah, they're digging through the archive because they released
which
all the I Love
Lucy
stuff.
Which is great, they're releasing it, but sometimes it just seems kind of ridiculous to what they release and how they release.
No, I don't know if they've released the John Ritter one that they did, was short-lived for ABC. Do you remember that? Was it Life with Lucy?
Oh, I
lasted
know.
Like half a season. It was John Ritter and Lucille Ball played his mom.
Holy crap, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I must have been too young. You must have been old enough to remember.
It was late 80s, early 90s, I believe.
But yeah, like Lucy specials.
Yeah.
You know, and Bob Hope.
But that was the time, the variety show time.
Classic,
you know?
Crap. Yeah. The Muppets, which we obviously have talked about, is coming out on every single format.
Yep.
And again, if you are 30s, 40s, you have to see those.
Yeah, you'll love it. And the kids are going to love it, too. There's a lot there.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sitter, which I didn't see.
Speaking of Jonah Hill.
Well, you can't call it a remake, can you?
Well, it's basically the same thing. It's Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures in Babysitting. Don't F with the Babysitter. Can I say it? Can we mark this, like, parental guidance?
Yeah, right. Well, I suppose. I suppose.
So, but yeah, so the Jonah Hill, the Sitter.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a remake of an Alec Guinness 1979 British series.
Absolutely.
Starring Gary Oldman and Colin Firth.
Gary Oldman.
And
again, a cast you can't beat with a stick.
But the two of us weren't overly impressed
Sick. I was sick. I fell asleep, but I was sick. So I'm going to have to give it another chance.
It's very slow. It's plodding. It's
it's a spy drama, but it's not an action.
It's a thinking person's film. Yeah. It's a classic kind of British mystery that unravels very slowly and very deliberately.
Yeah.
It left me kind of cold, I have to say, despite all that was going on.
I'll definitely give another chance just for Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for the kids, it came out in theaters last year for Easter.
Yeah.
And now it's coming on DVD, Blu-ray this year. Hop.
Oh, was that James Marsden?
Yes.
He did the voice in that?
Yeah. No, he did a character in that.
Oh, he did a character. I thought he did the voice of the rabbit.
Like the animated, you know, bunny.
Okay.
So, but that's coming out. And Hey Arnold, season 2, part 1.
Yeah, that Nickelodeon stuff
is
over my head.
Which is one of my favorite. I was a little bit old for it, but I enjoyed it anyhow.
Yeah.
Fun football head boy. So,
but if you like superhero stuff, Batman the Brave and the Bold is a very smart, well, was a very smart cartoon. And I know a lot of people thought that it was kind of dumbed down for little kids, but that's not the case at all. There's some of the smartest writing the Batman franchise has ever seen from a comic standpoint.
So if you're not full out comic, you might still enjoy it?
Yeah. And it draws Batman from all ages, from the Adam West stuff to the Michael Keaton stuff, to the stuff you see in the movies, to the comic books. I mean, it really touches on all generations of Batman and does it exceptionally well.
All right. TV and DVD.
Yeah.
This week, Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Kate Jackson.
You know, from the 80s.
Such a crush on her when I was a kid.
Yeah. So her after Charlie's Angels, where she was playing like suburban mom instead of, you know, hot bitch. So.
And a handful of criterions, including the War Room, which was the Clinton political campaign for his presidential run. So if you want to see James Carville with hair and George Stephanopoulos looking even younger than he does today.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that. So, again, an interesting mix of stuff. And DVD Verdict benefits from you spending some time going through these things. And if you feel like ordering, we benefit
even more. Yeah, if you're buying anything that's coming out, if you go to our site, dvdverdict.com, click on the reviews, click on upcoming releases. You know, if you buy it from a link there, you serve us, and we greatly appreciate it.
That's right. All right, moving over to streaming media this week.
What we got?
Netflix has nothing. I mean, literally nothing.
What the hell is that?
The only thing that jumped out at me was Richard Gere's Internal Affairs.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an interesting little 90s you know, back when he was still Richard Gere.
Yeah, like rare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, Netflix is a wasteland. I thought last week was a wasteland. This week is a complete wasteland.
Yeah. Well, they still have so much that
I know. There's a lot to go through. But just in terms of new stuff. Over at Hulu, it's Documentary Palooza. Seriously, Jesus Camp.
That is an amazing, no matter where you fall religiously,
It
is an amazing documentary. It's either like, you know, so heartening or it's completely disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it is an amazing documentary.
And Ron, the smartest guys in the room,
yes,
which is about the rise and fall of that company. And Tom Skilling, the weatherman from Channel 9 back in Chicago, his brother was involved in that scandal as well.
Yeah.
Casino Jack and the United States of Money. This is all very politically charged.
It's very charged stuff coming out.
No End in Sight, which is the Bush administration and the Iraq War. And then if you want something a little to cleanse the palate, you've got the Charles Bukowski documentary, Bukowski Born Into This, about the quirky author.
All right.
So over on Amazon Instant, of course, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they appear, and sometimes earlier than they appear on physical media.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a few things. Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino. I know you saw that later than everybody else, but
still. Amazing. Not for everyone.
No.
I say this all the time, not for everyone, but...
Yeah. But that's amazing. Tarantino has that tattooed across his chest.
Right. I mean, not for everyone, but I still fucking rock.
But talking about Christoph Waltz, his performance in this was phenomenal.
Beyond brilliant. Yeah. If you haven't seen Carnage and haven't seen this but appreciate him, you have to see Inglourious Basterds.
Wow.
His performance is one of the best, I think, ever caught on screen.
The opening film sequence where he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hunter.
Yeah.
He's a Nazi hunting Jews.
Brilliant.
All the Leprechaun movies, including the original with Warwick Davis and Jennifer Aniston.
Of course.
A little late for St. Patrick's Day, but still there if you want
to. Close enough.
And Looking for Lenny, which is the documentary on the life of Lenny Bruce.
Oh, how cool.
So, which, compared to today's comedy and what's being done, he's tame. I mean, we're seeing, we're watching Parks and Rec, and they're bleeping the F word on that.
Yeah, Up All Night. I think Up All Night. I think started the trend. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And they didn't do it at the beginning of the season, but they've done it the past few episodes. They full out swear, but they bleep it.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming a thing.
And there was a whole thing on 30 Rock this week where Tracy went off and Kenneth had to bleep every other word.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole plot line, not just something they did.
Right.
You know, in the show.
So, but Lenny Bruce at the time was
Lenny
just horror to a lot of people.
Yeah, just freaked everybody out.
Right. Okay.
Good deal.
That's all I got. What do you got?
TV, we have some series premieres.
Okay.
And some season premieres. Yes. Monday, ABC, Dancing with the Stars.
Which, you know, Sherry Shepherd has gotten in trouble because she's been rehearsing before the allotted time.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's like two weeks ahead
of time. Sherry Shepherd annoys the crap out of me, just in general. Like, we don't know if the earth is round shit. That's like, I'm done with her. So, you know, I watch this often with my mom, but I think this season, because I'm not with my mom at the moment, like, I don't think so. But anyhow, a couple more. Wednesday, NBC, Bent is premiering. And it's Amanda Peet.
Yeah, they've advertised the heck out
of it. Yeah, it's a sitcom, and she's, like, the good girl, and then she hires a contractor who's, like, a bad boy, and the cat gets stuck in the wall if you've seen the commercials, whatever. But anyhow, that's premiering if you are a fan of Amanda Peet. Last week, Missing started, and I didn't really talk about it, but...
Ashley Judd.
When Ashley Judd, like, her son's missing, and she, you know, is Ashley Judd, so she goes to find him. But Wednesday, they're re-sharing the premiere, and then Thursday night, it's, like, its regular slot.
Okay.
So, let's see, those are new. And then Thursday, CBS still has NCAA basketball throughout the weekend.
March Madness.
So, all your regular stuff isn't going to be on, but if you're into college basketball, woohoo!
And we've had a bunch of upsets so far because the drama is going to get very interesting as we get close to the Final Four.
Yeah, we've had lots of discussions about ugly uniforms and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Right.
So, you know, even if you're not into basketball, you may want to watch so you can be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they wore that color.
Wearing.
Bright yellow. What were they thinking?
Jeez.
Yeah, so that's kind of TV stuff that's going on this week. Music this week, The Shins. Have a new album, Port of Morrow.
Which is why they were on SNL a couple weeks ago.
So they have a new one coming out. A soundtrack, try to connect all of our entertainment. The Hunger Games, the songs, not The score.
Okay.
The Hunger Games Songs from District 12 and Beyond, which is actually produced by Thibault Burnett. But it's songs from a whole bunch of different artists, including Taylor Swift. So that's out. And the score actually comes out next week.
Okay.
But another one this week, Live at the Royal Albert Hall, 2011, B.B. King.
Ooh, I got to see B.B. in the Quad Cities back when I was going to school at Iowa.
Sweet.
Oh, God. Sweet. Unbelievable.
With Johnny Kilowatt.
Yep.
With our buddy, Johnny Kilowatt, who, if you are ever in Iowa City, and you get a chance to check out Johnny Kilowatt, amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, back on topic here. other entertainment books this week. Oh, one of my favorite directors. You know what? Make fun of me if you want to. But Kevin Smith has a new book.
Okay.
He's a great writer, too. Honestly, he's written columns and he's turned them into books. And Tough Shit,
mm-hmm.
as it's written. Life advice from a fat, lazy slob who did good. So if you want life advice from Kevin Smith, and really seriously, who doesn't? Because he's like rich and famous and has a hot wife, you know, who doesn't want that? You can get that this week. So talking about movies, The Avengers and Philosophy, Earth's Mightiest Thinkers. It's actually edited by Mark T. White and William Irwin. It's a series of essays about how the Avengers relate to philosophy.
The comic book?
Yeah.
They've done
the comic book and the new movie.
I don't know if these
two in general.
In particular, but there have been a lot of books like this, like the religion or the philosophy of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the philosophy of the Simpsons and things like this.
There's been like college courses on pop media, TV shows and stuff like that. But with the movie coming out, you know, if you're so into it, there you go.
Huh.
And speaking of movie books, The World of the Hunger Games.
Boy.
By Kate Egan.
That's all you're going to hear about for the next couple weeks is Hunger Games.
Just give
Hunger
it
Games,
up.
Hunger
you
Games.
Know, if you're not into that, just, you know, either go, like, hide in a cave or just deal with it.
Yeah.
Theater news. Memphis.
Yes.
Which is set in the 50s.
Right.
And it's the story of a white radio DJ who, like, plays, you know, quote, black music.
Right.
And won the Best Musical Tony in 2010.
Did.
It just hit its 1,000th performance.
Wow.
It's at the Schubert Theater, and I'm sure it'll be running for quite a while.
And I think they have a touring company out there now, too.
Yeah. So, congrats to them
for,
you know, 1,000 performances is pretty much Cats territory. So,
nice.
Thumbs up to them for that.
Is that all you got?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's switch over to entertainment news. This past weekend, in Anaheim, WonderCon was happening. Now, WonderCon used to be the San Francisco smaller version of Comic-Con that happened, you know, 6 months after or 6 months prior to the next one.
Yes.
The in-between. Well, now they're getting a little, as Michael Rankins would say, they're getting a little greedy because they're bringing it down to Anaheim and they're turning, trying to turn it into another version of Comic-Con.
Absolutely.
So it was big, heavy movie presence this weekend.
Okay.
So some news coming out of this. Ridley Scott and Damon Lindelof debuted the extended Prometheus trailer. And the buzz on this thing has just gone stratospheric. So rumor was at the beginning that this was a prequel to Alien, and they've given little bits and pieces. But this trailer kind of gives you the entire plot. And man, oh man, does this sucker look unbelievable. I mean, this has got to be one of the most impressive-looking sci-fi films I've ever seen. Just from these clips.
Well, that is saying quite a lot.
So if you want to go online and check that out, please do. Director Mark Webb, who is taking Amazing Spider-Man and going viral with all these little bits and pieces, they released a video of Dennis Leary playing Captain Stacy talking about the menace, the webbed menace of Spider-Man.
Mm.
And they've set up a website called webbedmenace.com.
Okay. Yes, like the quote fake sites that they've been doing everywhere.
That has information and stuff. Because J. Jonah Jameson isn't in this movie. So actually all of his hatred kind of falls onto Captain Stacy's shoulders. So he kind of carries that anti-Spidey torch. Oh, and James Horner has been revealed as to writing the score for Amazing Spider-Man. So I may have to give it a chance now. Because I wasn't too interested in what they were doing with this movie. Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich were on hand to showcase the trailer and clips from Resident Evil Retribution, which is the fifth film in the franchise. And it looks to be the biggest and the best from the clips that they showed.
All right.
It's going to be interesting.
Hang in there.
On the other hand, Peter Berg was trying to persuade people to go see Battleship. with Brooklyn Decker and Rihanna.
Seriously,
and
how do you turn a frickin' board game into a movie?
But it's Transformers. It looks like Transformers from the alien invasion and all that stuff. Now, we both like Peter Berg and the stuff he did on television and the films he's done.
Oh, Peter Berg is a great director. Peter Berg was a great actor. But I have no desire whatsoever to, like, even acknowledge this film exists.
Run away, run away, run away. And Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the trailer also debuted. And this is, again, it was based off an interesting graphic novel, comic book, and they're going to make a kick-ass movie out of this, so I'm really looking forward to. Also at WonderCon, I think it was the Collider folks kind of got to interview Seth Graham Smith, who is writing a bunch of different scripts, including Beetlejuice, which he revealed is not a reboot and not a remake.
Okay.
But he's met with Tim Burton. He's met with Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton's going to do it. Tim Burton's going to produce. The story is going to be set 25 years after the first one. And he said, why not? Because time means nothing in the afterlife.
That's true.
So
yeah, it's like the next day to him.
He said they haven't, you know, completely fleshed out the story yet, but it is going forward, and all three of them are actively working on it. Kind of sad news. This is American Life. Ira Glass kind of got caught in Oprah territory this week because they aired a January 6th episode about the Apple company's potential human rights violations in China. But it was done by writer kind of slash storyteller Mike Daisy.
Right. Who has done this. He went to China. He visited the factories.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of This American Life.
So NPR.
But so I know a little bit about it. Yeah. But just This American Life and Ira Glass. It's one of my favorite things in this world. It's a brilliant show. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. You can podcast it, whatever.
Oh, they've got episodes all over the place online.
Right. But what happened is Daisy did this one-man show after visiting the factories.
Okay.
And he talked about what it was like at the factories and talked about the issues of the factories and suicides and young workers and blah, blah, blah. This American Life decided to run kind of his story and talk to him about it as a program.
Yeah.
Which I listened to, which was so well done. According to them, he allegedly lied about his fact-checking.
Well, and I guess what happened was he kind of stepped on his own tongue because he was promoting this stage show that he does.
Right.
And said it's a mix of fact and fiction.
Right. But it's also, This American Life fact checks everything.
Oh my God, the researchers are just...
They really do. And they've been called into question about other things, and they just have their facts in line.
Yep.
This, unfortunately, they went with him. According to them, he lied to them.
Okay.
About certain things that happened.
Yeah.
I think what he said was basically true, but he said specific things that weren't necessarily true. And he's saying, no, of course not. It's entertainment. I do a stage show.
Yeah.
And they believed, for whatever reason he told them, or whatever reason, that those were complete facts. Yeah. So actually, this week's This American Life is talking to him about it and fixing the facts.
Oh. Huh.
Which, again, I think is commendable. And so saying, oops, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have. They went back to it and tried to find out the truth from him, from everything.
Well, and if anybody can put a positive spin on it, it's Ira and his team.
Yeah. Well, and not just because he's like a spin doctor.
No, no, no. But I mean, just the way they present information.
Yeah, it's really
so
a shame
unique.
Because a show that really, really does fact check.
Yeah.
Really is, if you hear it on there 99% of the time, I guess, I used to say 100% of the time, it's absolutely the truth.
You know,
unfortunate that this happened. I'm disappointed in them. I'm disappointed in general about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's become fairly big news.
Well, I'm interested.
And it's called into question, like, how news sources fact check.
Well,
because so many of our news sources have become blogs and opinion pieces.
And Wikipedia. I mean,
I would trust Wikipedia before I trust most of our news sources.
Jeez.
If I want news, I go to TMZ because they're pretty much always right compared to our, you know, mainstream news sources.
Well, the thing is, Harvey's a lawyer and he doesn't want to get caught. You know,
that's true. You
stuff.
Know what? Maybe lawyers should be running all of our news.
there you go.
There.
One other piece. I know we're running a little bit long here, but this whole Coney 2012 thing, I came in way late to this party.
Okay.
So apparently director Jason Russell, he's a little independent filmmaker, made this short film about this Ugandan warlord.
Right. So trying to bring attention to try to find him because he's on the run now. He's not in Uganda. He's wherever he is hiding out.
Right.
So the point was to like make this a huge social media campaign and the whole world sees him and knows him. So hopefully we
brings
can find
him to justice.
Him. Yes.
So he got busted in San Diego. Not Joseph Goni,
no,
but Jason
that would
Russell.
Be great if he was. Right. I think, so what happened was this came out, they tried to make it a social media thing. It became a social media thing. Of course, with anything, there's backlash.
Right.
So it's people saying you're just trying to make money off of this and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Now, whichever way it goes, they want you to buy things, they want you to donate, they want you to whatever.
Okay.
Whatever reason, from the pressure of that, from the backlash,
he
from
snapped.
Becoming so famous, he frickin' snapped. He didn't just snap like, you know, he ate a bag of potato chips snapped, like I do.
This is running down the street
he
in San Diego
down the street
naked.
Yelling about the devil and stuff.
And apparently masturbating in public. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But he's under observation right now, and his family is saying, no, this wasn't a drug thing. This wasn't an alcohol thing. It was exhaustion and dehydration that caused this.
Now, oh, of course. Because when I get thirsty.
Yeah. I don't think anybody that was running the LA Marathon today was dehydrated, kind of did the same thing.
Okay,
but
no, I have to do this. You brought up the LA Marathon. What? I totally have to give a shout out to our friend Will, who ran it, walked it, injured, and he is just absolutely my hero. You know, forget people who make documentaries being heroes or bringing. Will is today my absolute hero. I'm actually getting choked up talking about him and Nina, and they are just the most amazing people.
26.2 miles. He said he blew out his hip at mile 4.
It's so inspirational.
And he made the whole thing.
Okay, that was so off topic, but I just had to totally get props to him.
You know what the scary thing is now? We're going to wrap this up by talking about the Kardashians. So,
from like couple of the best people in the world to some of the worst. Okay, couple quick stories. One is John Hamm. He did this interview with like Elle magazine, and you know, he talked about how stupidity is celebrated
in this country.
Yeah, in the U.S. and in this culture, and he mentioned Kim Kardashian and you know, like Paris Hilton and stuff. And of course, Kim tweeted her response because I'm sure he's in more than 140 characters to talk about it. But you know how she runs a business and blah, 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 blah. And he was careless in saying that. But you know what, Kim, you can tweet to me next because I think he was right. Yeah, suck on that. And of course, he's had to retract it a little bit and say it's not personal and whatever. But you know what? Stand your fucking ground. It was personal.
Right, if you're going to say it,
it's
say
personal.
It.
Kim Kardashian is a bit of an idiot.
I mean, Kris Jenner may be a bit of a bulldog, but the fact is she can't tear a hole in everybody's rear end anytime somebody says something about the Kardashians. If you want to play public figures, if you want to make your fortune by being public figures, then you're going to have to put yourself up to public scrutiny and shut the hell up.
Right. So anyhow, that is the one story. And the other quick Kardashian story, and this is National Enquirer, so, you know, either go with it or don't.
What?
But supposedly Bruce is all pissed at Kris because she's like basically whoring their daughters out and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So
big shocker there.
He, like, took off and said she needs help and blah, 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 blah.
He probably should have done that a long time ago, like the time when they signed the series and, you know, invited cameras into their home.
Really? You know, you think before he started getting the checks, he should have, said that? Yeah, no. Anyhow, he didn't.
But then he couldn't have paid for the plastic surgery that he got. So,
All right.
And on that catty, unhealthy note, we will say goodnight. Have a great week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week with more fun and excitement.
Yeah, and any feedback, MHANSEN at DVDverdict.com.
Or MSTAILEY at DVDverdict.com.
Yeah, because we really appreciate anything positive. Negative. Well, I don't appreciate the negative, but you feel free to send it.
It's educational. We need to know what you guys think. So.
All right. Anyhow, glad we could get together.